Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Letitia Terry. How are you, Letitia?
I'm fine, Chris. Thank you.
Perfect. We're in Hermitage, and you work for Jubilee, but Jubilee owns a lot of vineyards throughout Northern Rhone. And today I just wanted to get a really quick overview of some of the key vineyards, because there's not that many in Northern Rhone, isn't there? And if you start at the top, there's Côte Rôtie. The roasted slopes or something.
Yes, exactly. Yes. It is Côte Rôtie. It's only in red wine. Yep. Only an appellation on
and
red.
And Syrah, because that's Northern Rhone, got to be Syrah.
Yeah, only Syrah. Then after, several villages having the appellation Côte Rôtie.
And what's the soils up there? You were saying earlier that most of the vineyards in Northern Rhone had particular soils, except for Hermitage, which we talked about last week.
So Côte Rôtie will be mainly granite. But you have a part as well of limestone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you get as well some there. So it's why if you Côte Rôtie, roasted hill, is famous with two parts. One is called Côte Blonde and Côte Brune.
Yep.
And for the history, there was a king, but this is just a legend. A king had two daughters. One was blonde, the other one was brunette. And he said, I give you one part and another. But for the real thing is coming from the soil, the color of the soil.
Yeah.
So it's why we call it like that.
Okay, and the hills, the one thing about Hermitage and Côte Rôtie is the hills are very, very steep, aren't they?
Yes, extremely steep, even steeper in Côte Rôtie.
Yeah, and you can't use mechanical harvesting or?
Everything is harvested by hands. All the work during the year are done by hand. You can use sometimes little tractors, but most of the things are done by hand because it'd be too dangerous to work there.
Yep.
But it's why we make what we call terraces. So you will have this wall made of stone where you will have a few rows that you can work like that, and another step, another step, another step.
Yep.
And often in some part, they kind of between several parcels, they will make like a little, they used to do that. Sometimes they use it again. It's like a little rail for train, but it's very small.
Oh, yeah, train, yeah.
Yeah, so like this, once they harvest, they can put their cases in that to go down the hill.
Yeah, I've seen that sort of thing in Mosul before.
Yeah, exactly, they use it as well, yes.
Yeah, you said it was Syrah, but they are allowed to add a little bit of Viognier, aren't they?
So Viognier is a white grape.
Yeah.
You can add up to 20% of Viognier after it's a choice of the producer. But next to it, you have the appellation Condrieu.
Before we get on to Condrieu,
It's just the Viognier.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people think that the Viognier, you use the white grape, you take it from the other appellation. But you know, it's very important. The appellation, it's a geographic part first.
Mm-hmm.
And the Viognier has to grow in the appellation Côte Rôtie.
Okay.
You cannot take it from another famous appellation. It has to grow in the same appellation.
Okay.
So this is important.
And they do something weird with it. They co-ferment the wine, don't they, which is a wee bit unusual. Because normally when you're making a wine of different grape varieties, you'll blend it. You make the wine, then you blend it together.
Yeah.
Whereas with Côte Rôtie, they will co-ferment the Viognier and the Shiraz or the Syrah together.
Yeah.
Do you know why they do that?
It's really to get the real flavor of the Viognier. The maturity won't be at the same time. But the idea is to, when they start the fermentation, you all start together.
Mm-hmm.
The amount is not very important, but it's really to get a real match between the two grapes.
Yeah.
After for Jaboulet, we don't blend. We only use 100% Syrah.
Okay. Often, my understanding is that they do the co-fermentation because the Viognier, some of the tannins from the Viognier help lift the wine. And I've often found co-fermented wine have a really lovely top note that you don't get with just straight Syrah. But you mentioned Condrieu's next vineyard down.
Yeah, just after, so it's several villages having Côte Rôtie appellation.
Mm-hmm.
And going back south, you have another appellation getting famous as well, is Condrieu. And Condrieu is only in white,
mm-hmm.
so only made of Viognier.
Yeah.
So it's why you have perfect terroir there. And
what's the soils?
It's granite.
Still granite. Yeah.
And clay.
Yeah.
The Viognier, it's a grape you find in the Rhone Valley, north and south. You find it in Switzerland as well. But the Condrieu will be the best expression of this grape.
Yeah, I really love Condrieu.
Yeah.
I think it's nice. A lot of people say that you should drink Condrieu young, but I've had old Condrieus that I've actually, where we've, there's a famous producer, Rennie Rostang up there, I think it was about 2001 and then about 2011. And we actually tasted them blind with my team, and almost everybody preferred the 2001. So you can get older Condrieu and enjoy it.
For like this type of wine, it really depends what the producer is looking for. Mm-hmm. The idea is the Viognier is always to keep the freshness, and it's very generous with the honey or apricot flavors. And sometimes with time, it's losing the freshness, so it's getting too heavy.
Yeah.
So most of the Condrieu, you drink them young. But after, there is, producers, they select some grapes. They do a special blend, and they will get it to be kept for times. And I know a lot of producers there, and they really want to make that change the idea of people, that you can get really good Condrieu. You have old Condrieu, and this why. And I more and more try to educate people in this way. And it will take time, because Condrieu, for such a long time, we talk about it as a wine to drink young. And for it's not a very long time, Condrieu is getting back again on his, as becoming very famous and important. For sometimes, people there were just, forgetting this appellation.
Okay. The Condrieu does have a sub-appellation or a single winery in there, isn't there? There's Chateau Grillet.
Oh, yes, that's a monopole.
One producer.
Only one producer having his own name. So Chateau Grillet, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And but it's Condrieu.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's Viognier. But
he was the person, because Condrieu almost died out as a grape variety. He was one of the last producers of Viognier, wasn't he, before it became popular again?
Yes, yes. But other producers in Condrieu really born there for a generation really wanted to protect it again. So it's why now it's a new generation and they really are protecting it. So it's getting back again.
Okay. Two more sub-appellations or regions. St. Joseph, quite a big region. It's getting bigger and bigger. There's more plantings going on in St. Joseph, isn't it?
Yes, because the appellation is it's a very long appellation. It's following the Rhone up to 50 kilometers. Mm-hmm. So starting from the end of the appellation, Condrieu, and coming back to Tournon-sur-Rhône, Mauve, which is in front of the Hermitage Hill. So it's extremely big, and we can still plant it, but Saint-Joseph is... there will be some changes in the next few years, so we have to check again.
What do you mean?
Because some area where they are in Appellation Saint-Joseph, they want to redivide the appellation in geographic.
Oh,
and
okay.
Some people in Saint-Joseph appellation now may go back to Vin de France.
Oh, really?
So that's a bit of a problem.
Oh, okay.
But we still can plant. Yeah, there is some appellations, they are full. We are not allowed to plant anymore, like in Hermitage. But in Saint-Joseph or Condrieu, we can still buy. It's getting almost finished now for the Condrieu, but Saint-Joseph, there is still an area where you can plant and having the appellation.
And the grape variety there?
So you have Saint-Joseph, it can be in white and red.
Mm-hmm.
And for the white, it'd be Marsanne, Roussanne, and for the red, it'd be Syrah.
Yep. And they tend to be a wee bit lighter than, say, Hermitage, don't they, or Côte Rôtie?
They are not light. I will say they are more terroir. You know, the tannin are a little bit more rustic, a bit harder.
Yeah.
You always go more on the animal side, very leathery, powerful. And, Côte Rôtie will be very powerful, but getting very silkery at the end, very smooth, but very elegant.
Yeah. I suppose Côte Rôti is more south-facing, isn't it? Whereas St. Joseph can have some hills that are not facing direct south.
Yeah, it's why. St. Joseph first is so long, so you don't really have the same maturity between the one in the southern of the Appalachian St. Joseph and the one on the northern. And obviously, they follow the Rhone River. So sometimes it's facing a good southeast, more complexity of exposure with St. Joseph.
The big Appalachian, though, the one that a lot of the volume of wine comes from, is Gros Hermitage,
yes,
isn't it? And that's on the other side of the river. So if looking north, St. Joseph's on the left side of the Rhone River, and on the right-hand side, where you haven't got Hermitage, it's sort of Gros Hermitage, isn't it?
So, where you have the hill of the Hermitage, all the vineyards around are Gros Hermitage.
And what does Gros mean?
It's a name of a village, so they came. That's funny because here it can be either the name are coming from a village, or they come from something else, from the soil. And Gros Hermitage is a small village close to Tain l'Hermitage, but at the end is not where you have the biggest of the Appalachians. So it's kind of starting there, slowly extended. Around 10 villages around Tain l'Hermitage.
And Gros Hermitage, when we were on top of Hermitage earlier, you sort of said, oh, this is Hermitage, and there, that's where Gros Hermitage starts. And Hermitage was definitely south-facing, whereas Gros Hermitage was flatter and maybe not quite so south-facing.
Yeah, it depends where they are exposed. But this appellation, compared to all the other one, is mainly on the plain.
Yeah.
So that where when we go to the Hermitage, coming back by beyond the hill of the Hermitage, there you have one side will be Gros Hermitage, another part will be Hermitage. But the most of the Appalachian are on plain.
Okay, so it's a lot easier
to walk.
Do they use machinery?
It's easier to walk with machinery, yes, because it's flatter. Yeah, so you have very long row of vineyard there, so... easier to walk, and they are mainly growing on attached by wire.
Oh yes.
All most of the other Appalachian, because it's steep slope, they are attached individually.
Yeah, I noticed that there's poles. You have a pole, and then the grapes are sort of tied on in three places with some normal Hessian rope.
So this is we call that échalas.
Échalas.
It's a typical name. So it's so each vine is attached to one échalas. So it's one. A way to walk around. It's easier, like we talked about before. That's an easier way for the people to walk around the vineyard because it's so steep.
Mm.
So it'd be dangerous if we had wire. So we can move to one vines to another, following the way of the slope is.
Yep.
And all this is attached like that. That's for the photosynthesis.
Okay. Whereas Gros Hermitage is a bit flatter, so they can run normal trellising.
Yes.
All that sort of thing. And and the wines at Gros Hermitage, they tend to be a bit cheaper as well, don't they? You know, if you think about Hermitage, which is quite a pricey wine.
Yes.
Whereas Gros Hermitage is always a bit more...
Yeah, most of the time it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Also, first, because it's a big appellation. So you have 1,500 hectares almost all in total.
Yeah.
So you have many, many producers.
Mm-hmm.
So you have so different type of Gros Hermitage. Most of the time they are to be drinking young. After, again, that depends how you blend your grapes, how you do your aging. We making three... red, three whites, there are three different Gros Hermitage. So all of them, some will be, cheap, and some will be quite expensive for Gros Hermitage. So really, you need to, here, compared to other region, we don't have classification. We only have appellation.
Mm-hmm.
You will know when you have wine from Hermitage or Côte Rôti. They are very high quality wines, very good for aging. And then you have Gros Hermitage, and Gros Hermitage, you need to know a bit more. So to know your producer, to know which cuvée they are making, because some of them, they have to be kept for at least 10 years.
Oh, and really?
They're following the idea of an Hermitage.
Yeah.
We have one of them is like that. He's on hill. He got a very good exposure, and he's very complex, and he's really going on the Hermitage. style.
Okay, so you do get a range of sort of everyday gluggers right through to good quality stuff, but it's, you can't tell by the appellation, which is something
tricky. Yeah, it's why you need to do a bit of work, homework to check by yourself.
And the grape varieties again are Syrah, Marsan,
and Roussanne, yes.
Yeah, no Viognier?
Viognier is only in Condrieu appellation.
On, and Côte Rôti for the co-fermentation.
And a little bit in the Côte Rôti. But as 100% Viognier, that will be only Condrieu.
And the last region, which, to be honest, I don't really know too much about, is Cornesse.
So then we go back to the Saint-Joseph side.
Yeah.
And
how do you pronounce it?
It's Cornasse.
Cornasse. It is, because with French, most of the time you don't say the S on the end.
Depends.
Yeah.
We are very complicated for that. So there is villages where sometimes you say it, sometimes you don't say it, but there you say it.
Yeah,
Cornasse. So it's Cornasse.
Okay. Tell me about Cornasse.
So Cornasse is a little bit further south, but like 10 kilometers, 15 kilometers down on the other side of the Rhone. So it's a little village giving only one appellation, Cornasse, in red.
Yep.
It's only red.
Yeah.
And it has to be 100% Syrah.
Yeah.
You are not allowed to add any other grapes, not even white.
Okay.
And next to it, so it's a small appellation. It's like 120 hectares only.
Yeah.
But it's going quite high, the vineyards. They go very high. You can have vineyards on 420 meters altitude.
Okay.
Which most of the time is the highest vineyard you get there. And it's very strong, powerful Cornasse.
Yeah, deep colored.
Yeah, always dark.
Full bodied.
Yes. It's well known as a hunter wine.
Hunter.
Hunter. The chasseur, because it's first, it's a lot of hunting around here.
Oh, okay.
A lot of wild boar and goose and rabbits. And this is wine, is powerful and is made for that. We always drink a Cornasse. We try always go with red meat or any powerful meat.
Some, I've read somewhere that people say, because it is, again, a lot of southern-faced hills, so you get a lot of heat from it, and it's a bit further south, so it's a bit warmer.
Mm.
Some people sort of say it's like a cheap version of Hermitage, because Hermitage is quite pricey.
No.
More rustic?
Yes. Hermitage is a very powerful but fine wine. You always very get a good balance. The Cornasse will be the most powerful of all the appellations. It's it go really on strong tannin, the same very spicy, papery, always black pepper.
Yep.
Like Hermitage, you will get more like black gray pepper, a bit more fineness in the spiciness. But the Cornasse is always very full, strong tannin, and you have to most of the time wait. If you take the traditional Cornasse, you need to wait at least 10 years before starting to enjoy it.
I just want to talk about one wine that I actually tried with you earlier.
Ah, Le Muscat de Baume de Venise.
Yes. So that's a fortified wine, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's a natural sweet wine, but this is Southern Rhone. It's growing near Châteauneuf-du-Pape. You have many appellations like Gigondas, Vaqueras, Rasto, and others. And Baume de Venise that you can make in red.
Yeah.
And it's famous for the Muscat. So it's a sweet, natural sweet wine.
But it's a white wine, Muscat. And the grape variety is Muscat Petit Grand.
Muscat Petit Grand, mainly. You can have several Muscat. Variety of Muscat?
Yeah, Muscat d'Alexandre.
Yeah, and we use for our Muscat, Muscat Petit Grand.
Okay. I actually tried it with you, and it's the first time I've had it, actually. And I really liked it. It wasn't as sweet as I thought. I know it's a naturally sweet wine.
Yes.
But your one had richness. It was lovely and rich. And the alcohol was 15%. So it was, it's been fortified up to 15% alcohol. But it was lovely wine. It's right up my street, really.
Depends on the Muscat you are making, can be very sweet and a little bit heavy. Obviously, it's in Southern Rhone, so it's warm there.
Mm.
But we made it in a way where you are looking for more like exotic fruits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's why it's very fresh, and you're more like the sugar is feel like more coming from the fruit than really proper sugar. So you always find in kind of a bit roses, lychee, passion fruit, and full of freshness. So it's very nice to finish a meal with that.
Yeah.
So yes, it's an interesting Muscat we are making.
Thank you very much. I think we're going to wrap it up there, Letitia. Yeah. I'll let you get back and do some proper work.
Yeah. Other works. That's different. Yes. Another work.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Cheers.